All right. Thank you, Miss Marjean. I hope you're watching. Yes, they're watching. I can't believe I can see that, but I see it. And Miss Marjean is always an inspiration. I'll tell you, everything that she and Brother Jack are dealing with and going through, and willing to sing and to share her heart with the Lord and with His people, I'll tell you, that's a great encouragement. Amen? And we can all learn from that example. Another good example we can learn from is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's where we're going this morning. Now in our Sunday school lessons, we've been talking about spiritual warfare and all that's going on around us in the spiritual battles we see in the world today. And so I thought I'd kind of springboard off of that this morning in the message today and talk about being a good soldier in Jesus Christ. Hey, let me encourage you to come on out to Sunday school now. We talked about this morning how the Bible talks about us as pilgrims, as salt and light and bread. And then we talked about being a soldier. And we are in a great spiritual battle in these days in which we live. And if we're going to put on that armor of God and get prepared and be the soldiers that God would have us to do, there's so much we need to learn and so much we need to do. And the Apostle Paul encouraged young Timothy, a young preacher, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Our passages will be 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look primarily at verses probably 3 and 4 this morning. So if you have your Bible there, and I pray you do, open it up, follow along as we read the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the Bible says, well, let's go ahead and back up to verse 1. We'll start reading at verse 1. And it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That ring a bell, Sunday school class? Be strong what? In the Lord and in the power of His might. So he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier." Let's pray. Father, bless your word this morning. Lord, we are indeed in a great spiritual battle in our land today. Father, we pray your Holy Spirit would arrest the spirit of Antichrist. We pray, Lord, you'd bring sanity to the heart and minds of the people. We pray your Holy Spirit would bring Holy Ghost conviction of sin and the need of salvation in the heart of lost people. But Lord, we pray most of all that your people, God's people, who are called by your name, Lord, will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you might hear from heaven, forgive our sin and heal our land. And Lord, I do pray the last of all that we would go forth as good soldiers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that's the answer. Lord, the answer to all these riots is salvation in Jesus Christ, a changed heart, which will bring about a changed life and a changed mind. So, Lord, we pray now as we look at this encouragement that the Apostle Paul gave this young preacher, that we take it to heart, that we learn from it, and that we would desire to be those soldiers that you'd have us to be, Lord, in these last days in which we're living. Now, Lord, may your Holy Spirit please come help, be our teacher and our guide, and open up our hearts and our minds to the truth of your word. Now, Lord, if there might be one here today, Lord, who's never truly been saved and born again, Lord, they're lost without you, without hope, Father, and they're going to die in their sin. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bring them under conviction that they are a great sinner in need of a great Savior, and that Jesus will save them today is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul encourages and he challenges young Timothy with some military illustrations. Now, military service, without a doubt, had to be very familiar to the Apostle Paul. We know that I've heard one preacher say that every time Paul went to a new town, the first thing that he visited was the local jail because he knew he was going to end up there. Amen. And of course, if he ended up in the jail, there would be soldiers there. There would be soldiers in the area. There'd be jail keepers there. And so the Apostle Paul was very familiar with military illustrations. I know that military service was very familiar to him, especially in his imprisonment. Think about it. Paul must have frequently have seen soldiers under drill, I'm sure he watched them on parade. I'm sure he saw many of them on guard. I know he saw many of them as they marched into battle. I know that he must have watched them cleaning, mending, sharpening their weapons, putting their armor on, taking their armor off. And often, I'm sure, during hours of enforced inactivity, that the Apostle Paul must have compared these details with the details of the Christian life, and I'm sure he noticed how wonderfully and admirably they corresponded one with another. Now, military service was also quite sufficiently familiar not only to the Apostle Paul, but to those people that he addressed and that those that he preached to and those that he discipled, because in those days we know that they lived in what is known as the Roman Empire, and that Rome occupied the land in those days, and Roman soldiers were everywhere and could be seen anywhere and throughout the length and the breadth of the entire country and the known empire of that world. And not only that, but think about it, even every member of society, whether it be a farmer or a shepherd or a carpenter, they all knew the kind of life that a soldier of the empire, watch this, had to lead, to live and to lead. Think about that. Now, when you think about the Roman soldiers in that day, we have a lot of negative connotations, and rightly so. They were very abusive. They were very mean, and I know the nation of Israel hated them. They despised them, but it amazing that God took something that the devil meant for evil and turned it into something good. Many of the illustrations that we can learn from as believers today in this 21st century are found with military illustrations and connotations to them. And so the Apostle Paul then tells Timothy that he has requirements as a good soldier, just as the Roman soldiers had requirements. Paul takes this well-known illustration and begins to teach the young preacher how he can be effective, how he can be accomplished, how he can be secure, how he can be victorious in his life. Now, let me give you the quick context here of the first few verses of this when he talks about a soldier of Christ. Number one, a soldier of Christ is to be strong. Look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be what? Strong, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Number two, he's to be single-minded. Single-minded. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, as you endure hardness as a good soldier, he says, do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Now, he doesn't tell Timothy that he won't have affairs of life, but he says, don't let them entangle you. Don't let them entwine you and cause you to go astray. A good soldier must be strong, he must be single-minded, and if we had time to go on this morning, we would see in verses 5 and 6 and 7 that he is strict. A good soldier is very strict. That's one thing I do appreciate about the military. I appreciate the discipline that they teach the young men and women in the military today and have always taught them discipline. So if we're going to be a good soldier of Christ, we've got to be strong, we've got to be single-minded, and we've got to be disciplined. And not only that, but he also gives him some other encouragements. Let's look at some of these this morning and apply them to our life and see how we too can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All right, number one, here we go. Hope you have your pen handy. Get ready to mark your Bible up. Hey, listen, don't be afraid to mark your Bible. You ought to have a highlighter or pen or something. And don't be afraid to circle words. I always tell people to circle words. Amen. They stand out in your Bible. And someone said, preacher, I would not dare write in my Bible. Why? Why would you not do that? A lot of people are afraid to do that. And I remember an old preacher told me one time, he said, you show me a man whose Bible is falling apart, and I'll show you a man whose life is not. Amen. Oh, listen, a man whose Bible is falling apart. You would not believe this Bible until I had it rebounded. A good friend of mine at our former church was kind enough to send this old Ryrie Study Bible of mine off and have a new cover put on it. That if you could have seen it before it was redone, it was literally held together with painter's tape. Amen? And he asked my wife. The whole front of it was blue because it was completely falling apart. The pages were ripped. If you were to go through, and I'm not saying that I'm anything, but I'm trying to help you this morning, that if you would go through my Bible, you will find it extremely marked up, words written everywhere. If I was to go back and show you that since the time that I have been here under the preaching of Brother Ken, and I got to go back here and show you this, and because there's a point to this, is this helps you become a good soldier in Jesus Christ. That when Brother Ken began preaching in the book of James, I want you to look at my Bible. Look at this. You can almost, it's hard to read because of all of the markings that I have, all the things that the Holy Spirit showed me while our pastor was preaching and teaching the Word of God. It's important to write those things down, to mark those important words, to highlight them. Why is that? That you might be able to remember those things. What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, you need to do what? He said, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Right? Why does our pastor labor day in and day out three times a week and print out handouts and faithfully teach us the Word of God? Why does he do that? It's not just so that we can take it in. Now, it's wonderful that we can. But you know, if you just take it in and never give it out, you become a swamp, right? That's the difference in a river and a swamp. A swamp takes water in, but it never gives it out. And what happens in a swamp? It starts doing what? Starts stinking, doesn't it? Right? But a river does what? A river flows. The water comes in and it flows and it goes out somewhere else. And it goes into tributaries and it goes into other little creeks. And it does what? It produces life. And so take your Bible, be willing to always mark it up, be willing to have it handy and follow along. And it will help you. Why is that? Because what you learn in church, God is intending you to teach that to others, right? Moms, he's expecting you to teach it to your children and to younger women. Grandpas, he's expecting you to teach it to your sons and your grandsons. And I could go on and on with every relationship that we have in life. And so let's be faithful, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All right, how are we going to do that? Number one, we must be courageous. We must be courageous. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. We'll pull out some verses here. But the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now that's very important and that's a very applicable verse for the days in which we're living in right now. If we're going to be a good soldier, we've got to be courageous. How can we be courageous? Listen, we cannot adopt a spirit of fear. That word fear there in the original language is from the Greek word dilia, and it means timidity, right? Christians ought not to have a timid spirit. Now, I'm not saying that we should be boisterous, and I'm not saying that we should be rude by any means. But I'm saying that we should not allow our circumstances to control our actions. Amen? We should not let other people's actions control our actions, right? I've said that all of my life. Now, I know we all fail at that. I've gone through a very dark time in my life here in the last year of some things that happened to me personally as a Christian. And I gave up over to a spirit of fear for a time. But I thank God that after my wife and I came here and got under the sound teaching of the Word of God, that God rid us of that spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'll tell you, I'm no longer afraid of this world. Amen. I'm no longer afraid of the devil. Amen. I'm no longer afraid of what's going on in and around us in this crazy world in which we live in, because I do not have a spirit of fear. Amen. Someone asked, say, preacher, what have you changed since this crazy COVID crisis has started? Well, let me tell you what I've changed since COVID started. Absolutely nothing. Amen. Now, I understand underlying issues and older people and things that happen. I'm not talking about that. Of course, you use your common sense, and I agree with you on that. But I'm talking about young people. I'm talking about strong people. I'm talking about healthy people who have shut themselves in and thrown in the towel and given up on life, given up on God, given up on America, given up on their families. And I'm saying, friend, that we cannot have a spirit of fear. Amen? Listen, the Bible says God has given us a spirit of what? Power and of love and a sound mind. He hasn't given us a spirit of timidity. We ought not to be afraid of the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith, right? We ought to have a spirit of faith. The just shall live by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith, amen, not by fear. Oh, listen, don't be intimidated. Listen, I haven't changed anything. From day one, you know what I did every day? I got up, I read my Bible, I prayed, and I went out and did what I had to do. I used common sense. I washed my hands 3-4 times a day, used hand sanitizer anytime I could, and I went out and did what I needed to do. Amen? If I needed to go to Lowe's, I went. And hey, by the way, it's amazing. Everybody in the world can go to Lowe's, but they can't come to church. Now, once again, I'm not talking about you with underlying issues and conditions. Don't get offended here. I'm not trying to offend anyone this morning. I understand that, and you better be smart if that's your situation. Amen? I'm not saying we ought to go break in the nursing homes and hug every person in there and wish them Godspeed. I'm just saying that we ought not to have a spirit of fear, and we ought to go about our lives, and we ought to be salt and light in this world and let the world see a spirit of power and love and soundness and not a spirit of fear. Amen? Listen, everybody in the world's come out of the closet and the Christians have stuck their head in the sand. It's time for God's people to be courageous. Amen? Courageous. He's given us a spirit of power. That's the Greek word dunamis. We know that word. That word, do you know that that word means miraculous power? Do you know that the believer has miraculous power? Do you understand that? It was a miracle you got saved, and it was a miracle that the Holy Ghost indwelled your body, and it's a miracle that the Holy Ghost is willing to work through your body. It's miraculous power that we have. It means miraculous power. It means abundant ability. Amen? Paul said, unto him that is exceedingly and abundantly able to do far and above what we could ever ask or think. How? By the power which worketh in us. What power is that? It's the Holy Spirit. It's that dunamis power that God has placed in us. Not only has God given us dynamite power, he's given us authority, exousia. We have the authority as the church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say go into the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as long as there's not a virus out there. It doesn't say that. Amen? There's always been viruses. There always will be viruses. You better get used to that. As a matter of fact, they're not going to become fewer in the last days. They're going to become more. So what are we going to do? We just going to shut the doors home and everybody go home and stick their head in the sand? No, we need to get out here, trust the Lord, use common sense, and do what God's called us to do. And that's be a good soldier. Amen? Listen, you don't turn back in the battle. There's no room for turning back. He's given us a spirit of power. That's ability. That's power. That's strength. That's a mighty, wonderful work. He's given us a spirit of love. We do all this in the spirit of love. Remember, the only proper motive for anything a Christian does is love, right? Now, I know I get passionate when I preach, and so I'm not telling us we go out here and knock the world down on its back, but I'm trying to tell you, friends, that if we're going to be courageous, we have to understand that it is done in a spirit of love. Why would you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? If it's not done out of a motive of love for your Savior, then it's useless, right? Paul said, though I speak with the tongue of angels and of men, and he said, though I give my body to be burned, and though I give all my possessions to the poor, he said, if I have not love, I've become what? A sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. The only proper motive for Christian service is love. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us to do the work of the gospel ministry. He's given us a spirit of love. That's affection, that's benevolence, that's charity, that's unconditional love. We as good soldiers go into the world unconditionally with love for the lost and dying world. See, that's a hard thing to do, amen? You know, we've watched what happens in the world today, and it was like, man, if I was there, I'd shoot every one of them. And in my flesh, I probably would. But you know the best thing we can do for the protesters? Pray for them. Huh? While you're watching, say, Lord, would you help that man? Would you help, Lord God, would you speak to their heart? Would you bring them under Holy Ghost conviction of their sin? God, would you send someone in their life to give them the gospel message that they might be saved and born again? Jesus said what? He said, in doing so, you heap coals of fire upon their head. You want vengeance? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God said, you pray for them, I'll take vengeance. Amen. He said, you feed them, I'll take vengeance. Amen. He said, you love them, and I'll take vengeance, right? God will clear this all up one day. But we've got to be a good soldier. We've got to be courageous. He's given us a spirit of, not of fear, but of love, and of a sound mind. A sound mind in the Greek, sophronismos. He's given us a sound mind. That is a mind of self-control. That word, when he speaks of a sound mind, it speaks a mind of self-control, right? Now, how are we going to exercise this courage? Well, number one, we've got to realize the spirit that God has given us. It's not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of love. It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of a sound mind. And then when we understand that, then we need to live our life the way that God tells us to do, in the power of His might, right? A good example of that is Joshua. Is Joshua. It's amazing when you start talking about military illustrations in the New Testament, you can always go back to Joshua and find some good comparisons. We can do like Joshua did. You know, Joshua was a great soldier, was he not? Joshua did what? Man, after God took Moses to heaven, Joshua led the nation of Israel across the Red Sea. He led them, led them across the Jordan into the promised land. Can you imagine that? What did Joshua do? Joshua 1:6. The Bible said this. It says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. All right? Now, how did God tell Joshua what would be the demonstration of him being strong and courageous? Joshua 1:7. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest, unless there's a virus there. No, he didn't say that. Lest there's a riot there. No, he didn't say that. He said that he is with thee. What did he say? And God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Say, where are we going, preacher? Well, what did Jesus say? Go into the world and preach the gospel to the ever-living creature. Go. Why aren't we going? We got a spirit of fear. Huh? We're letting other people's actions dictate our actions. We're letting the world control our churches. And that mess has got to end right here and now. You hear me? What? California? You better be glad this ain't California, brother. We'd be having us time in here. Because I'm going to tell you right here and now, ain't nobody going to tell us when and where and how to worship. Only God does that. Amen. Amen. Now, if me and preacher got to go to jail by ourselves, then that's where we'll be. Y'all just come see us and bring us something good to eat. Amen. 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 So we got to be courageous. We got to be courageous. How are we going to do that? It's simple. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. How did God tell Joshua to be courageous? By reading, meditating, keeping, and doing. Now that word keeping is another military term. That word keep, when it goes from Old Testament to New Testament, in the Greek, you know what it means? It means to store up. It means, remember when Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments? A lot of people misinterpret that verse. They say, Jesus, well, if you love me, you got to do what Jesus said do. No, if you love Jesus, you'll store up in your heart what he said do, and then doing what he said do becomes second nature to you because it's in your heart. Amen? See, if you're doing what Jesus said do out of a legal demand, then you're not doing it out of a spirit of love. Your motive is wrong, and you're not even going to get a reward at the judgment seat of Christ for what you're doing for Jesus. Because you're doing it out of duty alone instead of out of a heart of love. and gratitude for who Christ is and what he's done for you. Amen? Our life ought to be an overflow of what's in us, right? What's in the well comes out in the bucket. We got to be courageous. Number two, we've got to be faithful. No, we got to be faithful. Golly, look what time it is. Praise God. We got to be faithful. 2 Timothy 1:13. What does it say? It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." We've got to be faithful. In verse 14, he said, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Right? When the Holy Spirit reveals to you and I truth concerning an issue or doctrine, from that moment on, you are responsible to exercise and practice that truth. It's simple. We are to be faithful. Our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not expect us to be something that he wasn't. Isn't that a good thing about being a Christian? God's never asked you to be something he's not. God's never asked you to do something he hadn't done. He's never asked you to go anywhere he hadn't gone. He's never asked you to think something he hadn't thought. He's never asked you to give something he hadn't given. He set the perfect example. Revelation 1:5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, who unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Jesus was a faithful witness, right? Amen. He told Pilate, he said, "For this cause came I unto this hour to bear witness of the truth," is what Jesus said. He was faithful. Revelation 19:11, he's going to remain faithful. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says, "Heaven will open, and behold, on a white horse, he that will sit upon that white horse is called Faithful with a capital F and True with a capital D, and in righteousness he will judge and make war." The Bible said of Jesus, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Why? That he might become a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliations for the sins of the people. I could preach another hour on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, but to put it in a nutshell, just be faithful, man. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to your church. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your family. Be faithful to your pastor. Be faithful to your pastor's wife. Be faithful to your employer. Be faithful to your children. Be faithful to every relationship God gives you. Amen? Now, I know we're sinners saved by grace, and I know we can't do it right all the time, but by the grace of God, he's given us all we need to do it. You can go more than 5 minutes without sinning. Just be faithful. Number three, courageous, faithful. Number three, he's strong. He's strong. Think about it. He is always increasing in strength from life lessons and trials and tribulations. Think about that. Always increasing. You ever notice that? For those in the military, man, I have so much respect for them. 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, man, the revelry starts. And where do you find them? You find them all out there in the field. And what are they doing? Jumping jacks, push-ups, running, backpacks on. What are they doing? They're getting stronger every day. Amen? You don't arrive as a Christian. You don't get to a place and say, "Well, I've become all that I can be." Hey, listen, if you've become all you can be in Christ, you better get ready to meet your Maker, because if you've been totally conformed into the image of Christ as a born-again believer, you better look out, because Jesus is fixing to take you home. But none of us have, and none of us will on this earth. Listen, he's strong. He's always increasing in strength. He's learning from life's lessons in trials and tribulations. What did Paul say? He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong." Be strong. That doesn't mean just get strong one time. That means be strong in Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. Right? It's the Greek word endunamo. All right? And I believe it's where we get the English word endurance from. It means to empower. It means to increase in strength. What did Paul say in Romans 5? He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. He didn't say we glory in the cancer or we glory in the disease, but he says we glory within the tribulation that brings into our life, right? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed by the love of God which is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which he's given us, right? Paul said, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, right? And number four, he says, he is single-minded. He's single-minded. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen. Hey, if you get bound up and entwined by the things of the world, you can't please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Listen, that's the word stratioamahi. It's where we get the English word strategy. No man warreth. No man that warreth. Listen, your strategy is not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, but your strategy is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, to be faithful, to be courageous, to be single-minded, and let God give the victory in and through your life. He says, be strong. He said, we don't get entwined. That word there, entangled up, it's impleco. It means to entwine. It means don't get entangled with. There's nothing wrong with being in the world. Just don't let the world hog tie you. Huh? Well, preacher, I can't help birds fly over my head. Yeah, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Amen? Don't get entwined. Don't get caught up. There's a time and place for everything. But when it comes to Christian service and being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, Jesus does not take second place or play second fiddle to anyone. He requires all of us, not part of us. Amen? All of our mind in service. James said a double-minded mind is unstable in all his ways. Hey, listen, there's more than one way to skin a cat in business, but there's only one way to be a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen? Oh, boy, I got more, but I don't know if I'm going to get to it. Amen? Let me just give it to you. Maybe my last time, but I'm going to give it to you. Okay. He's disciplined. 2 Timothy 2:5. He's disciplined. If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Friends, you can't live the Christian life the way you want to live it. You got to live it the way God has provided for you to live it. You want to get rewarded for your service here on this earth? You've got to do it with a motive of love, and you've got to do it with what God provides, how God provides, when God provides, and where God provides. Man, this self-willed mess is just, it goes against my grain. God expects his soldiers to do the right thing the right way all the time. There is no situation ethics with God. The ends does not justify the means if the ends are anti-biblical. God tells us what to do. God tells us how to do it. And the entire judgment seat of Christ will be based on these facts. Did you do what God said to do, when God said to do it, and how God said to do it? If you didn't, your works are going to be burned up, friend. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be surprised. And finally, he's secure. He's secure. Look at 2 Timothy 2:11. It is a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. What's he saying? There must be humiliation before exaltation. Think about it. This is the only model suitable for a good soldier in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we must humble ourselves before the offended maker. Come to him trembling in fear and repentance and salvation, letting his Holy Spirit live within us, putting on the armor that he has provided to give us his precious word to hide within our heart, that we may become faithful, steadfast, standing, withstanding, ever vigilant, willing to do the will of God. The Bible says this, and I'll leave you with this. Say, preacher, how am I going to do that? There's only one way. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, and is there today, ever making intercession for the believer. Father, we love you. We thank you. So much more we could say, Lord, but time does not allow it today. And so, Lord, we just pray you'll take your precious word, apply it to our hearts. Lord, we know that you need good soldiers today. Lord, I'm reminded of that old song we used to sing as kids. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never fly over the enemy or shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army. And so, Lord, help us to know that we don't need to shoot the artillery and fly over the enemy, Lord. The battle is yours. The fight's yours. You've just called us to stand, to be very courageous, and to do all that you've called us to do. If God's spoken to your heart, we invite you to respond in the invitation. This pastor's here to receive you, and we pray that you will respond. Our invitation is